Good morning, folks, and very welcome to our service this morning. It's actually great to see as many people here as there is. Can I just say a very warm welcome to anyone who's visiting with us this morning? And I suppose also a bit of a special welcome welcome back to Kelsey. Is she somewhere here? Yep. Kelsey has been away for the last year in the Philippines working with Wycliffe Bible Translators. So it's just lovely to have you back and welcome. So I can also just say, if anybody is here visiting with us this morning, we usually gather for a cup of tea or coffee in the cafe Solid Ground at the back. Please come round. It's an opportunity for us to get to know you, and you to get to know us. You'd be most welcome, and you have to be quick to beat me to the chocolate biscuits. Okay. So there's quite a few announcements with us today. Obviously, you'll have got the announcement sheet, which covers the month of August. But things are really kicking off this week. The Holiday Bible Club is on evenings this week. That's aimed at children who are primary school age, either ready to move into P1 or right through to just having left P7. So if you're going to primary school this year, if you're at primary school, or if you haven't quite made it to big school for the next couple of weeks, you're very welcome to that. It runs Monday through to Friday. I'm doing a bit of a look here to see, I should have the time scale, yes. 6:45 to 8:30. So that's for the young people to come along to. But there's also set up for that tonight from 6 o'clock. Anybody who's involved or wants to be involved, giving a wee bit of a hand in decorating the halls, if they come along here this evening at 6 o'clock. And if you have anything which would fit in with the Ocean Explorers theme, bring it with you. See what you can do with it to create the the feeling for the young folk that this is an ocean and a seaborne event. Let me see. Here we go. Yes, a number of things which aren't just happening this week, but that we need to be preparing for in terms of sign up and so on. Saturday the 24th of August is the Mourne Walk. I am promised it's more relaxed than last year's, so it should be, maybe even I will be able to manage it. That's on Saturday the 24th, and if you're going to it, you need to sign up with Sandra. So you see her on Solid Ground after the service. But the idea would be here at the church for 9:45, or I suppose be here to leave at 9:45. And we'll try to get away as shortly after that as possible. Also, in terms of sign up, Saturday the 31st of August is our 12 hours of prayer day, and we're having 12 hours in Clochy and 12 hours here in Grey Abbey. And it's open for people to come in and out as and when it works for them, but we also want to have the church manned at all points through the day. So we're looking for people to sign up for our blocks to be here and ensure that there's a presence here for that. And I'd encourage anybody who hasn't came along and made use of that. It is a wonderful thing just to take some time out of your day, and when you're away from home, you don't have the pressures that go with that, just to sit here and to reflect and to pray. And it's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for us as a church. And I just encourage anybody to come along to that. And then also another date for your diaries. The 2nd of September here in Grey Abbey is the evening of leaders training. And that's the health and safety, looking after the property, GDPR training. If you're involved in running an organization, you need to come to one of those meetings. Please come along. There'll be further announcements before that happens. Now, in the immediate future, I suppose also this week, Wednesday night is Trinity at Prayer, 7:30. And again, I'd encourage anybody to come along to that. Nothing is expected of anyone, but come along, be involved, sit and listen, and pray yourself. It's, again, a wonderful thing to be involved with. And finally, an announcement really from Khalid Presbyterian Church, where John Murdoch, a past minister here, is the minister. And anyone who has an interest, they're having an evening. It's termed as the message from the tractor seat, and you'll see some of these flyers in the vestibules if anyone is interested in that on Friday the 23rd of August. But you're expected to walk the next day, so don't be too tired with that. Okay. Folks, that's all the announcements, and it just gives us the opportunity to come to our worship service proper. And to do that, just as a call of worship, I just want to bring a verse from Psalm 16, verse 11, where David says, "You made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And as we come to our first piece of praise, it's an opportunity just to express that joyfulness and to share in the pleasure that God has given us. Our first piece of praise is Eagle's Wings. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, we are blessed to be able to come together openly and to come before you in public worship this Sunday morning. You've given us freedom together to worship and to praise you. And while we give thanks that the freedom that we're also of that, for that freedom, we're also aware that the world wants to confine us to its ideas. It wants to create a world based on what people want for themselves rather than what you want for us. Lord, we ask that you will keep us true to your word and to your direction, to be steadfast in your directions in all things. Lord God, we know that you are perfect and that we are a fallen and broken people. You created us, but we have taken ourselves away from you and from your presence. Each day we act and behave and continue to be sinful in our very nature, and we ask for your forgiveness for this. We thank you that you never gave up on us, that you have made provision for us, and that you love us in a way that is beyond our understanding. You've given us your Son and the saving grace of his life, given freely for each one of us. You've blessed us with your love and your grace. Through your Son, you have given us the fullness of joy that is eternal life with you. As we come to worship you this morning, we humble ourselves and we ask that you will speak deeply into our hearts and that your Spirit will work in this place, both today and as we go out with us into each of our lives this week. Be in us and in our relationships with all those that we meet, that we may be what you want us to be. Help us to love each other and our neighbours as ourselves. Strengthen us when we speak. Help us when we are weak, and may we reach out to those around us. May we love obeying your commands, and may the joy of obeying your commandments be in us and seen in us. May people see that obedience to you is a joy in our lives and not a burden. Lord God, this morning we bring to you our entire congregation and the many who are not with us here this morning. We know that there are those who are home or on holiday or who are in care or unwell, and we ask for their safety and a blessing for them. We bring to you Neil this morning, and we pray that you will be with him and speak to each of us through his words. And we ask these things in your name and through Jesus. Amen. Our second piece of praise this morning is in Christ alone. And I feel a bit relieved because the first one wasn't the ones that I expected it to be, but at least this one I'm hopefully getting it right. In Christ alone. Thank you.
His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry.
Good morning, everyone. I've got echo. I'm not for singing. I'm going to sing with the hymns, but not solo. Folks, it's lovely to see you this morning. It's lovely to be here. We're going to turn to God's Word now as we continue this series, as we think about God's love. And today we're thinking about His faith. And then next week, the Holiday Bible Club service will be here, but I'll be preaching in Clochy on hope, and that will be recorded, and you'll pick that up online or on the Facebook page. But today we're looking at faith. First John, John's first letter, chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 12 verses together. This is God's word. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together, and we ask him to bless us as we continue to worship with our tithes and our offerings. So our offerings will now be received. For your many blessings towards us, you lavish us with love. You've given us this gift of faith. Lord, you've given us so much, and we just are so thankful that we can give back the abundance that you pour into our lives by way of a financial offering this morning. Lord, take it, bless it, use it. Lord, we want to see your kingdom expanded and grown, and people reached for the gospel because of our giving. Help us to sustain the work that we do here. Lord, help us to keep a roof above our heads that we can have shelter. But Lord, help us also to see beyond our walls and our village into the world. And may this offering, Lord, help in all of that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. come now to the time when we pray for others. And as we do that, I want to just share with you my mixed emotions on Friday. And those mixed emotions of mine are going to feed into our prayers of intercession today. So on Friday, we had here in the church the rehearsal for the wedding. And it's lovely to see our new bride and groom here today. You've definitely shown up the rest of your wedding party. They're all lying in their beds, but you've got up and you're here. That's great. We're going to be praying for you in a moment or two. But we had a great service of worship on Saturday, and we prepared for that here on Friday. We could feel God's presence here as we were preparing to celebrate marriage. And then, just during part of that rehearsal, I got a phone call from Noel Angus to tell me that his mum has passed away. So this morning, we have to announce the death of Joan Angus, who passed away peacefully in the Ulster Hospital on Friday. Joan was a hard-working family woman and a child of God, and many of you knew her well. And our prayers are obviously with Christine, Edward, Ian, Kenneth, Noel, and their families. We'll pray for them in a wee moment. There are no funeral arrangements yet. The funeral arrangements, we'll only find out about those on Monday morning, and then we'll post them on our Facebook page. And if you check the funeral directors, whose name I can't remember, Richard, Adairs and Ballywalter, if you check their Facebook page or contact them, then they'll give you the details that they're the funeral directors. But Kenny and the family are down at Kenny and June's house. And if you would like to pay your respects, I know we're going to be praying for the church trip in a minute or two, and many of you are going to be away. The wake is down at Kenny and June's house. And if you're going there, I know you can get in both ways, but please go around the Inishargy Roadway. That lane way is clearer and more easy to get up and down. So if you're going to be going to that, go that way. But that sort of... You brought this mourning into me, sort of in this mixture of emotions. But still, Joan is a woman of God and was at the end of her journey and she was not going to recover. And we know that she's with the Lord. So there was still even a little bit of joy in that. And I went up around to the house. And this mixture of emotions as I was going up. And I wasn't in the house 2 minutes until the door knocked. And I went to the door. And there was this man standing at the door, a man that I know well. And he says, I only had 2 minutes, Neil. Because at this stage, the Tesco's van was starting to reverse up at the front of the house. And I says, no problem. He said, if you're doing new members in November, are you doing a new member course in November? I says, aye, we are. He says, put my name down. And I looked at him, because I know this man's not a saved man. And you can only become a member of the church if you know and love the Lord Jesus. And I said, here, big fella, something changed. He says, yes, on the 14th of July, I gave my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. So I was standing hugging him at the front door of the man, so we were just embracing each other. And this hug, the first time we'd hugged each other as brothers in the Lord, and the woman that was reversing the Tesco's van up probably didn't know what was going on, but we didn't care. So this is a great mixture of emotion, but God is in it all. God was surely in that wedding ceremony and in the rehearsal for it. God was in the life of Joan Angus, and Joan is with him now, and the Lord has just broken into a life. So a saint departs, and another one realizes he is a saint. So God has been in it, folks. And we want to pray for those things. We want to pray for exam results that are out this week and the church trip that's going away. And also when we're talking about weddings, I don't think, mine is not here this morning, is she? Oh, there she's over there. Sorry, I was looking for you over there. I think somebody's married. Big number. Today. Huh? I think we should be a medal in the post. 55 years today, folks. So there you go, guys. One day, 55 years. Every blessing to you. That's incredible. That's incredible. Let's come before God now and let's offer this all to Him in prayer. Lord God, our prayers this morning do go out to the Angus family. Lord, they are now just coming to terms with the fact that this great matriarch, of their family, this woman of God, has passed the scene of time. But we live in the assurance, as does the family, knowing that she is with you, knowing and sharing now the stories of how she shared her faith with them as children, how they had the opportunity then to share that faith with her in her older age. And Lord, we just pray a blessing on them as they meet together, as people come into the house and share those stories. Lord, may this be a time of blessing. And yet, Lord, it is a time of mourning and sadness, and the loss, and coming to terms with that gap in the family. But we know, Lord, you are with them. You comfort those who mourn. So comfort them at this time. Lord, we have rejoiced this weekend and continue to rejoice. And we just pray for Daniel and Anna, Lord, as they begin their married life together. We thank you for the service that we shared of worship here as they give and received rings and shared vows and dedicated themselves to each other, Lord, in that bond of love. And we just pray, Lord, that they would have many, many days ahead of them. Like Mina, Lord, just we thank you for their marriage. And we pray, Lord, those 55 years, Lord, what a testimony that would be in its own. And many in this room, Lord, are married many, many years. And we just pray continued blessing in all of them. And Lord, as you bring us together in relationship this way, you do call us into relationship with yourself. So we do pray for souls saved, Lord. We thank you that we're seeing that here, that you're pleased to do that in the work and the lifeblood of this congregation, people coming to know Jesus as Savior. We want to pray for all of those people, Lord, who have recently given their life to Jesus. Lord, may that be for us who've been walking with the Lord a while. We know as we walk, Lord, we get more comfortable. May this be an inspiration to us, not just to our own faith, but to go out then and share that story with other people who we know aren't saved and don't have Jesus, that they would come to know him. May your Spirit, Lord, work powerfully, mightily in and through us, Lord, to that end. Helping people to understand that you have a plan for them, a plan for their life, and a plan for their eternity. And for their life, Lord, just reveal that. And be with our young people on Thursday as they open up exam results to see how they're getting on or how they've done as the next chapter or phase of their life is opened up before them. And Lord, there can be, again, a mixture of joy and sorrow in those results. Lord, we just pray that you would reveal your will, Lord. And even if those results are not what young people have been expecting or young adults are expecting, Lord, may they know that you are still with them, that you are leading and guiding them. And even, Lord, as we get things wrong, we know we all get things wrong. And in our mistakes, Lord, we come before you and we offer up those prayers, Lord, as we confess to you the things that we have got wrong. Help them, Lord, if they've not done enough or done something wrong, to confess that, Lord, before you, so that you can then walk with them again. And we know, Lord, in our mistakes, you still bless us. You're still with us. You shape and mold us through those things, Lord. But, Lord, you do reveal your will and your plan as they journey through life. And for the members of our congregation, Lord, who are going to be journeying now on the church trip this week, just pray, Lord, a blessing in their fellowship, in their travel. Lord, may they know your presence with them, Lord. May you bless them abundantly. We ask all of these things in the faith that you hear and answer our prayers through Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, boys and girls, we're light on boys and girls today, but is there any upstairs that want to come down? Or if there's only one or two, what I'm doing this morning, you might be better sitting up there. If the ones who just want to, are you coming? Aye, come on down, right. Come up to the front. We are going to talk this morning about faith and trust and belief. I'm going to use an apple to do so. Where's he going with this one now, folks? Eh? Where? Now, I think you should come over this way, for I'm going to need this bit over here. So come you over. Aye, come you over that way. So we're going to talk about trust and faith. Aye, that'll do. You'll be safe enough there, I think. Using an apple. But I'm going to need a volunteer. Now, I have to say in Clochy, I did have a volunteer. A volunteer came forward. Somebody of faith. Somebody who has trust and faith. Have we anyone that would have faith and trust in this place? Not one. Not one person of faith and trust. Victor, you're sitting there. You know ye. You knew it. You were sitting there going, don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. I think.
You need them, or better not wear them.
Wear them or not wear them. You'll see that I'm going to need mine more than you'll need yours. If you sit there, Victor. Who has heard of William Tell? Trust and faith required for this children's address today. You, Victor. Here we go. Now, the story of William Tell is that It doesn't really matter, but he set an apple on his son's head and he's able to shoot the apple off the boy's head. That's who he was. So Victor's a great man of faith and a great man of trust. So I'm going to shoot the apple off Victor's head. Are you ready? Right, you're ready. I'm not ready. Victor, I'm not ready to shoot an apple off your head. I'm pretty good with this old thing here. I remember the first time I had my hands in one of these, it was in our BB hall back home. And we set the target at the way at the far end of the hall. And I reached for the old thing and I said, I wonder, is this hard? And I'd done that there. And I shot it away up the hall and I hit the middle of the bullseye and I just set it down and walked away and I said, there you go, boys. Lucky. But I'm pretty good with this thing here. Better than Jack, isn't that right, son? Not really, no. Don't move. We'll change the goalposts a wee bit here, Victor. Let me see. Come you forward a wee bit. I'll tell you what we'll do. If I set that there, come you and sit here. Sit you there, look. Put that apple back on your head. Good man. I'm not kissing you. Again. Glasses on. A bit like myself, I don't have to bother with hair. We get an apple on here. You don't realise that it's a very big apple that he has on there. And we've got a wee bit of facial expression to make it real here. There we go. Victor, thank you. You can step away. Now, I'm going to shoot the apple of Victor's head. Right? You ready? What do we see now? Was he a man of faith and trust, or what should he have been? Oh! Well, was that sore, Victor? I seen you flinching. We'll have another go. Oh, dear. Oh, my word. I think, boys and girls, I could be shooting at that a long time. And I might not hit that apple. I was right not to trust myself, wasn't I? Victor was right not to trust me. He was a bit of a fool for coming up in the first place. But you know, even if I shot 10 arrows that hit that apple every time, if I went boom, 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 and hit that apple every time, I would not set Victor down there and have a go for the 11th. Not a chance. Because no matter how good you can be at something, there's always a chance that you could get it wrong. You could always miss. And you know, everything that we do, there's always a chance, no matter how good we are at anything, if anybody in here, you might be an expert, but there's always a chance that we'll get things wrong. Hands up if you ever did anything wrong. Now, boys and girls, everybody's hand is up. Nessie, she's looking in the bag. Everybody gets things wrong at times. And that's why we can't 100% have faith in people. Yes, you can trust your mummies and daddies. But I'm a daddy, and sometimes I get things wrong. Quiet. Yeah, we all can get things wrong from time to time. But we're talking today about faith in God. And you can 100% put your faith in God. God will hit the apple every single time. With his eyes closed, God could hit that apple pointing that way. That's how good he is. That's how much we can trust God through Jesus. By asking Jesus into our lives and having faith in him. That's what we can do. And we want you boys and girls to have that. Because the earlier you start with this, the stronger it gets. Because faith builds throughout our lives. The more you practice, the better you would get at hitting the target. Still a chance you would get it wrong. But if I kept going, you could get better and better. And our faith grows and grows and grows. And we want you to be men and women with strong, really strong faith in God. And you start that by putting your trust in Jesus. And when you do that, this great story. Oh, I've left my Bible up there. This great story. We're reading today in John John's first letter. And at the end of that, he's writing this story telling us to love. So last week we talked about love. Love God and have God's love in us. And he says then, have faith in Jesus. So love and faith, when they come together, do you know why he wrote that? To make our joy complete so that we would be happy in the knowledge, knowing that God loves us and we can have faith in him. And that's joy that we're going to sing about now. Okay, and then I'm going to try and do this better. Oh, look at this. They're stapled. Somebody's been practicing. I was handing out papers last week, boys and girls, and I handed them out wrongly. But now they're stapled together. We're going to stand together, and then we're going to sing joy about joy, and then we'll give you these and colour in pencils and go back to your seats. Thank you. Boys and girls, come here and get one each. One for you. One for you. There's a man sneaking up for one too. Come on ahead. Now, where do you get your colouring pencils? And one for you, Tommy. That's one. And there's one. There you go. Grab a bunch of pencils. There we go, boys. Good. You get some? You've got your own colours. Good girl. Now, boys and girls, I did mean to say, do not set your wee brother or sister down and go, here, get an apple, do we see if we can shoot this off your head with anything. Do not be shooting anything at your brother's or sister's or anybody's head, even Nerf darts. Make sure if you're using Nerf guns, you've got your glasses on, please, please, please be safe. That's why I would never have shot that at Victor's head. I just drew a big picture of him and shot it at him. So don't be, I don't want to hear any stories. And no insurance claims or anything like that. Folks, we're talking today about faith. And faith in this story. Now, I could stand here and tell you a story. I could say, as I was driving from Clochy up to Grey Abbey, I saw a man riding a horse. And you would believe me. Nothing strange about that. But then I could say to you, I saw the man riding a horse up the middle of the road. And you would go, boy, I've never seen that before. But you would still believe me. Because it's a believable story. It's a wee bit out there, but it's a believable story. But all I said to you, when I was driving from Clochy up to Grey Abbey, I saw a horse in the middle of the road and a gorilla was riding it. So you're not believing that. You never flinched for the first two parts of that. But you know you wouldn't. But what if I said I had three of the elders in the car with me? And they'll all testify that we saw a horse with a gorilla riding it in the middle of the road between Kirkcubbin and Grey Abbey. Would you believe it then? A wee bit. No, Heather's not sure. No. Even from elders. Depends which elders did you say, Ruth? Oh, there we go. You can discuss that. Men, you can discuss that with Ruth after the service. She trusts some of you, but others not. But I mean, what if we got a whole lot of people to tell you that story? Maybe the weight of witnesses could make that story, because it's possible. Have you ever been to the circus? Sure, they can get animals to do all sorts of weird things. But I mean, if that story wasn't true, it would soon be discounted. It would soon be not believed. And it would just be a story that silly agent of a minister in Grey Abbey once told. He's a header, that boy. Now, if you think of the story that John is telling us here, and that he's referring to, boy, it is a whopper of a story, right? A story about a baby that was conceived miraculously. Honestly, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Right? So the story right from the start takes a wee bit of faith. Okay, so we don't hear much about this boy Jesus. And then he appears, some carpenter's son. He starts preaching. He preaches in a way that nobody's ever heard before or experienced before. Then he starts doing miracles. He starts raising people from the dead. People who were born blind are receiving their sight. Leprosy is being cured. These are things that only somebody very special was going to do. And then in the middle of all of this, he says he's going to die. And then he says he's going to rise again. And he does. And then he disappears. And he says he's going to come back. I mean, what? Try and put yourself now. We know the story. This is the gospel story. And we've heard it. We the kids hear it. We teach it to them. But imagine being in John's day, going out to try and tell people this story. Imagine being Jesus arriving on the scene, telling this story. It's a whopper. And in the day, people didn't believe it. People refused to believe it. People opposed it. People tried to change that truth. And in this letter that John's writing, this first letter of his, is actually a letter in response to some false teaching. The people were called Gnostics. It was all about knowledge. It was about levels of knowledge built upon the other, and that got you closer to enlightenment, to spiritual enlightenment, because they didn't believe that the body, the flesh, could inherit or be indwelt by the Spirit, and that's what they believed in. And John's saying, no, the love of God can be in you. And he is saying, I know this because I've walked with Jesus. If you want to open up First John, just go right to the very start. So is John going to tell us he's a witness? Absolutely. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. So John is telling us he has a story. It's not just in this letter. He has a whole gospel that accompanies the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is his story of Jesus, the things that he saw Jesus do. He stood with Jesus when these things happened. That demonstration of love, Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins, he saw that. Jesus came on to the scene, onto this earth. He said that he was going to do something. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And he did. His death and his resurrection happened. John saw it. Jesus told the people then what that meant. What was the significance? Not just was he going to do it, but what did it mean for the people who were there? It meant that their sins were going to be forgiven, and they were going to receive salvation, eternal life, through faith in that. And then he told them that someday I'm going to go away. When I rise, I'm going to go be with the Father, but someday I'm going to come back again. His ascension, back to be the Father's side, and then his return for the new heaven and the new earth. Now, in all of this whole story, we can say, you know, there, John and all of these other apostles were there. It's easier for them to believe this because they were there. In terms of the crucifixion, yes, they were there. They saw Jesus die on the cross. They mourned those days when he was in the tomb, and they saw him in the upper room, alive again. But the evidence of what that meant for them, eternal life, they didn't find that out until they died. They had to live in faith about that part of the story. And, well, in relation to Jesus' return, 2,000 years later, we're all still waiting in case, well, unless we've all, well, if I've missed it, you've missed it with me, we're all in the same boat. At this stage, he hasn't come back. We're still waiting. So you see, in relation to faith, we're in a very similar position to the first disciples, the first members of the first church, the first century. But if we actually believe Jesus, We're not in a similar position, we're in a better position. Because in that upper room when Thomas was doubting and then Jesus appeared, he said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me and have yet believed." So we're in a better position according to Jesus. Well, what would that position be? What does that blessing look like for us? Well, in verse 1, it says, everyone who believes. Now, so this word believes, the word faith only appears once in our reading today. But when you see the word believe, it's the same Greek word behind it. It can be translated belief, faith, trust. It's all that same thing. So we could say, everyone who has faith that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And then in verse 4 it says, for everyone born of God, so when we have faith we are born of God, everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory. We've overcome the world. That is our faith, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who has faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Verses 1 and 4 tell us that when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have overcome the world. What does that mean? What is the world? When you say the world, what is that? What have we overcome? Well, the world here refers to the world of sin that we're born into. It refers to our sinful nature that we're born in. When we are born, we're all born sinners. We all have a sinful nature within us. Paul says that we're not to conform to the pattern of the world. The pattern of the world is to put yourself first. The pattern of the world is to please yourself first. Do what makes you feel right. Oh, you're worth it. You can do whatever you want to do. Be whatever you want to be. And today's culture, the sinful nature is coming out even more. I mean, even the very thing, selfies. Pictures yourself in every picture. Can you imagine 20 years ago taking a picture of yourself and posting it through all the doors of the houses in Grey Abbey? But now it's okay to take a picture of yourself and put it on the World Wide Web. I'm not saying that's wrong. I took a selfie in here yesterday at the wedding and we'll put that on the Facebook page. I'm not saying selfies are wrong. I'm just saying this whole thing reflects that selfish, sinful nature. That is the world. We're not to conform to that pattern of the world. We're to do something that Paul writes about. I just read this week. I'm reading through Ephesians at the minute. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Put your faith in Christ. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self which was being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness. The world is that old sinful self, and we have overcome that. We are victorious over it. It's been conquered. That's what that word overcome means. It's been conquered. It's been defeated. But it's not just a thought process. It's not just that we have conquered worldly thoughts or selfish thoughts or selfish attitudes. It's more than that. Let's look at verse 10 together. Anyone who has faith in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. So you see, this is not head knowledge, this overcoming, this thought process. Yes, it's that, but it's something in our heart. And when you have that testimony in your heart, look at verse 11. When you have that testimony, God has given you eternal life. In the same way that we feel heartache, we talked last week about love, how your heart breaks, heartbreak hotel we talked about. And you feel that in your chest when your heart is breaking. In the same way, when you have faith in God, you should feel it in your heart. You should have a joy that expresses itself. For example, if you're singing a hymn about joy, some people clap. Some miserable people don't. Some happy people clap. This is the happy section today. We've expressed that joy in clapping. I'm not saying you're miserable. Some people just don't like to clap. That's okay. But, you know, when you're singing these things, you know when you can feel happy? It's not just a feeling here, but you can feel it. It makes you warm inside. that feeling. People are nodding, so I know what you're talking about. That's what faith does. God places this faith and this joy and this love on our hearts. That agape love changes how we love other people. And that faith then gives us assurance. It gives us perseverance to deal with the things of the world. It gives us an understanding to get our head around some of the stuff that we see in the world around us. And I know I'm a minister, and I know ministers live in this weird bubble. We're not normal people. We don't have normal jobs. We don't do normal things. We're oddballs. We are weirdos. I know this. Abnormal people. But I remember the time when I was a normal person. I spent 10 years on a building site not knowing Jesus, working with men who, many of them, didn't know Jesus. One or two did. But I remember then when I gave my life to Jesus and having 10 years on a building site with Jesus. I remember what that felt like. It is a feeling in our heart that gives us assurance. And this blessing, this is a blessing that the other guys didn't feel. The first church didn't feel it. We feel it. We don't deserve that blessing. God offers it to us free through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, if you have the Son, you have life. You have faith. You have that sense of assurance of eternity, but you have that faith for today. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. You don't know what I'm talking about because you don't have Jesus in your life. But this, folks, is a free gift. Have you got Jesus in your life? Have you got faith in Jesus? Now, I'm not saying here, do you know about him? Can you recite verses that you learned when you were a child? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking, do you even believe God exists? I'm not talking about, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? I'm asking you, do you have faith that he did that for you? And I know this room, many believers who have that faith and belief. And I trust, folks, that makes a difference in your life and that you can feel that difference. You did not see Jesus. You did not touch Jesus. You did not hear Jesus. But you believe that he existed. He walked this earth. And you believe that he died on a cross. And you believe he did it for your sin. Yes, for the sins of the world, but he did it for your sin. And when he rose from that grave, he brought eternal life. And that was for you. And you believe that. And you believe that one day, in the twinkle of an eye, the trumpet of the Lord will sound. And he's going to come down and take you to be with him because you have faith in him. That's what faith is, folks. And we should feel that. That should, when we're down, if we think about that, that should build us up. And you know, this is the truth. I pray that you know that and you feel that. But as I even speak now, I know personally, and I know from talking to some of you, that faith feeling fluctuates. It's a good job I have my teeth in this morning, not somebody else's. The faith feeling fluctuates. Like I said to the children, we put our faith and that faith grows. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, the people who walked with him, the people who saw the miracles, who heard the teaching, he said, you have little faith. And then there was a time that they said to him, increase our faith. Faith goes up and down. God's love is a constant. He pours it into our life all the time. We just don't know that he's doing it. We don't recognize that he's doing it. We don't understand that. But he is doing that. And our faith fluctuates. Now, yes, Jesus did conquer completely death and sin. The war is won. But there's a couple of movies that you can watch there about various conflicts. And there's always little skirmishes after the conflict. The Germans, when they were running away, they fired off a few rockets or a few tank things and they shot at people. And people died after the war was over because of these little skirmishes. And we live in a time where these little skirmishes happen within us. You see, I'm a saved man. Jesus has died for me, and I am assured of that. But you, what you see in front of you is Neil's shirt in the flesh. You are all Christians in the flesh, and there's that battle that rages within us. There's still that wee selfish thing. There's that wee thing that wants to put me first, do the things that I want to do, and we have to battle against that, and we need faith to battle against that. And then sometimes Satan, he sticks his oar in, and he stirs that up, and he attacks our faith. And hey, there's times that we can be greatly affected. There's times that in our faith, we can feel as if we're on the floor. The role of our faith, the role that we play with faith here on earth, is to exercise faith. To exercise it. Now, I know everybody in this room, some of you don't like exercise. But exercise makes you fitter. Exercise makes you, so they tell me, makes you stronger. And we are to exercise faith. We're to build faith up. And when your faith feels weak, it's because your relationship with God needs attention. It's not that God is far away from you. He's always there. And his great promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. Surely I am with you always. But the thing is, he's there and we're all over here. You know, and then when you go looking for him, where is he? He's right there. And he builds our faith up. The best way is to turn around a wee bit and make sure we know that he is there. Pouring agape love into our lives, strengthening our faith. And this love of God and our faith is so tightly linked together. The knowledge of that love gives us this great faith. Paul writing to the Ephesians, the Colossians, and the Thessalonians. If you read those letters, you'll read in the first few verses, I heard about your love and your faith. Faith and love. Love and faith. These two things are linked together. Strong love leads to a strong faith. Keeping close to God. And when we do that, the result of that faith being exercised means that we can live obediently to God. And that's what the passage tells us. And that's what John's writing about, you know. Yeah, John is telling us that Jesus came and that Jesus died and he did all that. And he's also telling us that he's going to come back. But this letter is to a church in the here and now. A church that's been attacked by false teaching. And they need their faith built up. And he's reminding them of that faith. He's reminding them of that love. You see, faith is for today. Yes, faith in what has happened. Faith in what's going to happen. But faith today, to exercise faith, to live according to God's commands. We carry out God's commands. Verses 2 and 3 tells us that. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. So that means there's commands that we obey, they're in our character, but there's commands that we carry out, so there's an action to them. This is love for God, to obey his commands. Found in the Bible. That's where we find his commands. Yes, we can have thoughts, we can have ideas, we can have theories, we can talk to other people, we can have different actions, but all of those things must be traced back to the scriptures. This is where God commands us. God doesn't command you from the preacher in the pulpit. You might hear my voice or somebody else's voice, but it's from the word of God. So you go and you take it and you go back to the scriptures yourselves. Don't just take it from my mouth. I am imperfect. And even if I hit the target 10 times, the 11th time could be this. So you got to go and do it for yourselves, your own personal relationship, and carry out these commands. And you know something, when you read that Bible in faith, it's more than just words printed on a page or something on the screen of your phone. Because in Hebrews we're told, this is God's promise to us in faith in the new covenant. I will put my laws on their heart. You should feel the word of God. When you're reading it, living, it's breathing. Those are words from Hebrews. It's a prophecy from Jeremiah. So it's always been God's plan to place this word on our hearts. And in Christ, he does it. The New Testament tells us in Hebrews chapter 10. So whenever somebody's talking about something and you think, that doesn't sound right to me. That's a feeling. That's God writing on your heart his word and saying, what that person's saying is not just right. You go back to the word of God and you check everything out for yourselves. It's tough. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Living by God's commands is tough. You will have opposition to that. We face opposition to that today. And I know some of you are scared to speak about your faith in the workplace. I'm not saying that fear is wrong, but I understand that is a difficult thing to do. People will not only just disagree with you, they will call you names because of the things that you believe and the way you want to live and the faith that you want to exercise. But what he says here, what John says is, these commands, it's not a burden. It's not a burden. It's not a burden that we can't bear. Because you see, the people you're talking to will say to you, oh, in the Bible, them commands, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt not do the other thing. You know, yeah, thou shalt not murder. You know, what's wrong with that? Like, thou shalt not steal other people's possessions. Thou shalt not commit adultery with somebody else's husband or wife. What's wrong with these things, folks? But all they see is the thou shalt nots. Oh, sure, when you become a Christian, you can't do this and you can't do that. It's all about what you can't do. The gospel, when we live it, makes our joy complete. I know there's quite a number of happy, joyful people in here who know and love the Lord. One or two of you can be miserable sometimes, but then, hey, so can I. But generally, we have that joy in our hearts. It's a joyous thing. But these people are speaking, and they're not speaking from a point of faith, and we have to understand that. They don't have the faith that we do. We have a feeling. They don't have it, and we must express that. It's the only way they're going to know it, folks, is see it in us. And we can do it. We can do it. We definitely can, because the Bible tells us. Paul writes, I can do some things through Christ. I can do all things, everything. Anything that God wants me to do, I can do it through Christ who gives me strength. Faith in Jesus energizes and strengthens us to do it. When we're getting it tough, whenever we're in a battle, whenever the old flesh is pulling us or we feel Satan is attacking us, look at chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God. You have overcome the world, overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. In faith you have Christ. He is greater. He is stronger. Satan cannot defeat you. He might affect you, but he cannot defeat you if we place our faith. Faith has overcome the sinful nature. You can conquer these skirmishes. Sometimes, you know, when does Satan attack you? When are you most tempted? Is it when you're really in the middle of reading your Bible and you're really strong in your faith and you're never missing church, you're not missing the Bible study? Or is it when you're a bit far away from him and you're feeling a bit down? Yeah. What is he like? He's like a prowling lion, isn't he? So if you ever watch a nature program, so the lions go and they attack the big strong bull and the herd. No. They get the wee weak ones or the older ones, the ones that are not as quick. That's who they attack. And Satan will attack you when your faith is weakest. But here's the promise. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. So not only do we put faith in him, he is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You cannot be defeated. You can be affected, but not defeated. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out of it so that you can stand up under it. You may feel as if you're on the floor. You can get back up again. You may feel as if your knees are buckling. You can stand back up again in faith. And if you're here today and you feel your faith could be stronger, don't leave feeling that you need to think, you know, oh, my faith needs to be stronger. Stay behind. The ministry team, the prayer ministry team, there'll be members of them here. That's why we like folks to go for the cup of tea. Go for your cup of tea and your chats there. We like to leave this space, go and grab a cup of tea and come back in again. You know, there doesn't have to be something wrong with you to have prayer ministry. You might just want to talk about something. You might just want to speak to somebody about something. But maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to talk to somebody else at another time. Speak to your elder. You know who your elder is. They will come and they will talk to you. Come and speak to me. Speak to someone, another Christian. We do this together. We don't have to do it alone. Strengthen that faith. Exercise that faith. Let people see that faith in you. Let people see the story of Jesus in you. That's a whopper. That is a whopper. In many ways, it's easier to believe that there was a gorilla riding a horse down the middle of the road. That could be true. You know what I mean? The circus could be in town. The story of Jesus is true. Believing, yes, in things that have happened, things that are yet to come, and the things that God are doing now. And it says in verse 9 in that passage, we accept man's testimony. But we should accept the testimony, God's testimony about Jesus. It's greater. It's the greatest story ever told, folks. And that's the story that you're living. You're living it in faith in Jesus. It's true. It is a story that is life-changing. It's a story that is death-defeating. And it's a story that is eternity-providing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel, for what it means to us. And Lord, we haven't experienced the full meaning of it. But many here, Lord, have experienced that overcoming the world, being filled with the Holy Spirit, experiencing your agape love. And we pray for a strengthening of faith here today, Lord, in all that we do. Strengthen us, Lord, as we sing our last piece of praise. Strengthen us as we go out that door, and may we, Lord, strengthen each other in fellowship. Return us again next week, Lord, to hear from you again. Fill us up as we experience what you have been doing in our children throughout the week. Lord, help us to return hungry for more. And Lord, we know that you can do that. We know that you have been doing it and that you are doing it. Calling people to yourself. Lord, call sinners to yourself. Help them to overcome the world. And Lord, may we be strong in our faith on that day we see Jesus Christ returning, ready to be with you for all eternity. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing our final piece of praise this morning. By faith we see the hand of God.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power
us to walk by faith this day and every day of our lives, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rests and remains on us, in us, working through us, now and forevermore. Amen.